How many were here when we shared about church behind the bar, church behind bars last time? Okay, maybe I should ask how many were not here. How many have no idea? Okay, well, good. Then I can fill you in on a little bit. January is when we started. Last year we took all year pretty much to write a 400-page manual that we were teaching from. And the idea of this is not to do prison ministry like it's been done for so long. I believe that we are, not that any of that is bad, but I believe that we have come to a place where we need to stop just giving. Because what we found to be happening with prisoners is that they would just never take ownership of their role as part of the body, and they would just wait for the next ministry to come through to spoon feed them. And it served its purpose for a lot of years. And not that we still don't do evangelism, but we decided to take two prisons and build prototype churches by identifying the leaders there and raising them up to be the church. We told them, we're not bringing you the church. You are the church. We're not bringing you the church from the outside. You are the church on the inside. And it was a shift. January, we started implementing this by teaching. God said in the beginning that we were just his midwives to assist in birthing his baby. This has been God's baby all along. I don't know if this is going to work, Jerry. Oh, it is. Oh, wait. Okay, that's what I want. So, see that rainbow? Whoops. Okay, we got to go back. Or no, that. All right, I'll stop playing. Right there, that's what I want. Not that. That was our January team. Okay, next one. Should I do it or you? Oh, you? Okay. Oh, that's not it. I want the rainbow. Where's that at? Okay. See that rainbow? Do not move, rainbow. In the background, that's Lowell. Early this year, we drove in to this magnificent rainbow, full rainbow over the prison facility. It was a sign and a wonder of what God was doing. It was his covenant promise over that facility. And because I get to go to both facilities, I got to see some of that in the men's as well. But this was the strongest, as you can see. He did that at the beginning of the year as a sign and a wonder. It became very clear early on in this year that Church Behind Bars was becoming a movement. We used to call it an initiative, but now it's Church Behind Bars movement. Because what was happening is people were getting transferred out of the prison who had been in Church Behind Bars, and then they were taking their manuals and they were passing it into other prisons. It's been spreading through the prisoners. It's been spreading. We've got girls in Lowell that are mentoring other prisoners from their books through the mail. So it's becoming a movement. And God told me also early on that he says, Debbie, he says, if you have an avalanche, is there any way you can stop it? No. He says, can you put it back? Can you put it back to the top? No. He said, this movement will not be stopped. It is unstoppable. And so for 9 months, we have taught, we have trained, we have equipped, we've ministered, we have done the work 9 months into September. In September, we birthed God's baby. It wasn't a boy. It wasn't a girl. It was God's warrior bride. And I want you to know that Church Behind Bars is alive. It's thriving. It's growing strong. We still have 3 more months, but we've passed the baton. And Robin's going to be talking a little bit about that. But now they're going to be implementing. We're trying to help them figure out what that looks like in prison. Men and women that have an incredible call upon their life. And many have disqualified themselves because of their shame and condemnation of their past and their crime. And so what we did is, I'm so used to All right, then. Okay, next one, Jerry, for me, please, because this is not working. So what we did was we spent the first half of the year. You got the next slide? Maybe not. Next slide, in Jesus' name. Anyway, the first half of the year. So it won't click over there? Seriously? Okay. Well, that is just too bad. Okay. Anyway, the first 6 months we spent really uncovering and digging out their identity, their gifts that was underneath, just buried underneath rubble. You know, we all have that. See, we come into the kingdom and we don't come in with a clean slate. We come in with our past. We come in with our failures. We come in with our junk. And sometimes that stuff has to be uncovered underneath the, because it's buried under the rubble and the ruin and the wreckage of our lives. And so for prisoners, it is really, it's really true. And so what we did was we spent those 6 months healing brokenness, getting them to step into being able to forgive themselves, forgive others, getting them to even understand that they had a purpose and they had an identity. It was all part of God's master plan to raise up spiritual champions and spiritual giants in his army, his warrior bride. In August, what we did was was a turning point. I call this like a benchmark, because 6 months we train, we equip, and as we progressed, everything was line upon line. It was in a sequence that the Holy Spirit set up, because he knew what they needed to hear, learn first before they learned the next thing. And so in August, we taught about how to hear the voice of God. We talk about the spiritual gifts, and we unpacked the prophetic lifestyle. Some of these men and women had never prophesied in their life, but by the end of that time, they were giving us words. And it was freaking them out, actually. It was the largest team that we'd ever taken, because when you begin to activate the prophetic, you can't just teach it, you have to do it. So we brought in a big team to help us with that in the men's facility and in the women's facility, to prepare both prisons for this activation that was going to take place. The Lord instructed me to hold two ceremonies, plus a divorce decree in both the men and the women's. In Lowell, the women's facility, there was a wedding. They divorced their relationship with sin and wickedness and evil entities. It was a divorce decree. And then they proceeded to marry Christ. In the men's, they went through the same divorce, but there was a ceremony of knighthood, pledging their oath and pledging their allegiance to their king, Jesus. The first day, we always gather as a team and have devotions and prayer in the morning. And Robin just decided after 8 months to look up what the names of these two prisons mean. Listen to this. Lowell means dearly loved. Marion means warring. So here we have the exact focus of these two ceremonies, a wedding, dearly loved, and a ceremony of knighthood, warring. There's no way that we could have ever been prepared for what happened. The supernatural shift that took place in both prisons. It was so fun to how the Holy Spirit inspired me to even tell these women what was going to be happening. I remember during the teaching that day, I told them, now when you go back to your dorm, I want you to prepare for a wedding. And they're like, what? You know, they had no idea what we meant. And I says, I want you to go home, back to your dorm, and I want you to prepare yourself spiritually. I want you to spend time with the Lord. I want you to spend time repenting and confessing. And I want you to spend time relationally in prayer and dialoguing with him, because you're going to marry Jesus tonight. many took these preparations to heart. I had them write on pages of paper their experiences because, you know, you have this idea from the Lord and you just have no idea how it's going to play out. Just listen to a couple of these. Those that would never even wear makeup found themselves borrowing lipstick to make themselves beautiful. One gal wrote, "I was so excited when you told us we were getting married. I showered and washed my hair. Then I got out my brand new clothes that had never been worn. God had given me new clothes just in time to get married." Another one said, "It was the most wonderful experience in my journey through life. There was such an excitement and tingling running through me as I made myself beautiful for him." Another one said, "It was a powerful impact on my mind and soul because it was so real that it instantly changed me." And many women wrote how they were changed. But one person even went on to say, and you know how I know this is true? Because during the evening service, a group of us were sitting and says, "Oh, we can't think that anymore. We can't do that anymore. We're married to Jesus." Another one said, "I felt complete for the first time as God's bride." Another said, "Today I married Jesus and I'm committed to him, so I cannot share in sin anymore, for I am his bride." Another one said, "I don't live in shame anymore, for I am the beloved of the kingdom." And another one said, "I am no longer a child, but I am now a woman of God. I'm not a child eating baby food anymore, but a wife teaching his babies his love." September, our birthing month. How many months does it take to birth a baby? What month is September? That's where we stop teaching. We have 1 to 3 in the afternoon where we're teaching from the curriculum, and then the evening is more application where we have an evening service. September was about evangelism, was about intercession, and how to be a missionary through intercession. Robin taught on communion, a powerful night of doing communion, and I taught on the Sabbath rest. I want you to know, without a doubt, God is showing up and he's making himself quite famous in these prisons. High-level gang leaders are coming into the kingdom. One young man got saved in February and he came from a crime family. His father was very serious about training him to be part of the mafia. And so he had, at 8 years old, he had every bone in his body broken. Put him in the hospital for a year just to make him tough. As a teenager, he began this life of crime. He became the highest gang leader in this particular gang in Florida and was imprisoned as a teenager. He got radically saved. Satanists are coming into the kingdom. There was a 1 month, I think it was May, when we taught spiritual warfare. I love this story. And so some of our, we call them interns, not inmates. And some of our interns in the men's facility, they were walking by. The Wiccans were having their service. And so they just came against that thing. There was a bowl of bones that was kind of levitating. And they just came against that in Jesus' name and started praying. And it flew up and it crashed against the wall. So the Wiccans came out and says, "You know, quit messing up our prayers to our God." Radical things are happening. Atmospheres have been totally infused with the presence of God during our times at night when we worship. I remember one night I was worshiping and I couldn't even feel the sense of wickedness, but there were guys that had pentagrams and they were putting them on their head, and I guess they were coming against the service, but the atmosphere was so filled with the presence of God that I couldn't even tell. And the men were just so caught up in worship. And one evening, this one guy ran up to Tony Loeffler. He is our partner. He's part of he's the president of Solid Rock, and he's kind of overseeing the men's facility. But this one guy, big burly gang guy, came up to him and says, "I've got to get saved, and I've got to get saved right now." Just because the atmosphere was so charged with the presence of God. The quiet and the meek are becoming bold, sword-slinging lions. This is what one gal wrote. She began to pray at night, and suddenly she had a sense that she was wielding a sword in each hand. She began to physically slash the air back and forth with her sword, slicing the enemy's weapons in half. As she was interceding for her fellow inmates, she began to cut through the red tape and the hindrances and the demonic attacks that were coming against the legal proceedings. She began asking God to grant parole appeals and clemencies and post-convictions, as well as give new classes and overturn sentences. During the course of the next month, 9 women received favorable rulings regarding their legal cases. 9. One of our interns, her conviction was completely overturned as if it had never happened. One woman even came off death row. She's the youngest person to be on death row. There's been many miracles and many signs and wonders that are happening, that are preceding us and accompanying us. Robin, come on.
I get the privilege and honor of talking about some of the miracles, sharing about some of the miracles that have occurred. I mean, you've heard some of them. First was this manual before we even stepped into the prison. We showed you guys a little bit of that before. It was just about a quarter of what we had. This was a manual that God put together and Holy Spirit led. About 400 pages. This is what we've been, and this will be out on the table for you to take a look at, but this is what we've been using to equip and teach and make the Lord known. And what the women have been using to also teach and equip and share what God has been doing. The greatest miracle that I could ever share is the miracle of the heart. The souls that have come to the Lord is phenomenal. And the healing that has been happening inside, the traumas, those things that have held them in captivity and have barred them and have tormented them are being broken off and still being broken off as I'm talking to you. It's phenomenal to see. Talk about bringing somebody from death to life. Anytime you ever see that, it's a miracle. And we just praise the Lord for that. And from that, I mean, we're seeing physical manifestations that are occurring in the prison. People that have been prayed for initially, you know, by our group, and then as the interns have been joining with us and been praying, and not just when we're there, but when we're not there. Debbie shared some of that. I mean, we've had a young man in the men's prison in February. He was saved. He was diagnosed, and just after that, he was diagnosed with bone marrow cancer. He just got a clean bill of health. The doctors, when they did the MRI again, they couldn't find it. What was there? But he knew, and this is what is so neat. He got saved, then he got this diagnosis. Do you not think that God knew this? You bet. And just after he got saved, he received the words of life from God. So after he got the diagnosis, he went, he was bummed out. I mean, who wouldn't be bummed out when you hear and have been labeled with C, the cancer word? He went and he got his Bible. And he had his dictionary, and he looked up what that cancer was and what man's description of that was. But before that, he went to the Word, and he was given words of life. And he then gave a testimony in front of all the inmates. And he said, he held up the Bible in one hand, and he held up the dictionary in the other. And he said, I looked up in both. And he says, I choose to believe the word of God and what it said over me. After that, he got a clean bill of health. And we just found that out last month when he went back for an MRI. The power of God, his word, his promises, these inmates, these interns are grabbing hold of it. We had another one that had Hep C. She had contracted that through sharing of ink. That, she found out, went away. They couldn't find it. The interns are so excited that they're beginning to boldly reach out and pray for one another, knowing that God's answer is yes. And I mean, just little things. People that had, you know, strained backs, had knee, leg, I mean, weren't able to walk really well, or even run for that matter, are praying and are able to do what they hadn't been able to do for months and for some years. It's just phenomenal to see how God is meeting them. And you guys all know, when God does that, it just continues to build their confidence in who God is and what he promises for them. Pastor Al, and Pastor Al is with us today. He's been with us, going in with us the last couple months, and he happened to be in the men's prison, and he saw a gentleman that had kind of a dead eye. Not kind of, it was a dead eye. And he went over and he asked the gentleman if he wanted to be prayed for. And the gentleman was eager and said yes. So Pastor Al placed his hand on his eye and began to pray. Now this eye was gray where it should be white. And the pupil was just dead. It was black. So as Pastor Al is praying for this gentleman's eye, he starts to notice that the gray begins to turn yellow. And the pupil is turning a different color as well. And so he takes his hand off and he puts it on his good eye. And he asks him, he says, "Can you see?" And the intern said, I see some light. And Pastor Al said, "Is that normal?" And he says, "No, he couldn't see anything." And so he says, "Okay, we're going to pray again." And so he put his hand over him and he continued to pray. Well, that gray turned to, it turned to white, right? Turned to white and the pupil turned to blue. And so Pastor Al asked him, did the same thing, put his hand over his good eye and asked him, "Now, you know, can you see?" And he says, "I can see a brighter light." Now, in the prison, we only have so much time, and this was transpiring towards the end. And, I mean, when the guards come in and they say, "That's it," I mean, everything gets disrupted and shut down. And Pastor Al was sensitive to that, seeing that. And, you know, so things would not get disrupted. You know, he just continued to minister, and he told them. He said, and I'm going to use your words. He shared with them, you know, unfortunately, as they ran out of time, when the time is up, the guards will come. Okay. And he shared with them, he said that Jesus had prayed for some. As they went, they were healed. So he told the intern, he says, "As you go, you will be healed." You know, there's a continual process that is going on. And so we were hoping to see him last month, and we did not see him last month because this happened. He prayed for him in August. And for some reason, I don't know if he got transferred or, I mean, there's a myriad of things that can happen that they don't, they don't show up. But hopefully we might be able to see him next month to see the full manifestation of the healing that God did start in that time. I mean, it's phenomenal when you see those types of things and those around, you know, see that. But I mean, that's just a few of so many that are happening in the prison. We are in this last quarter, and in December we'll be graduating them, and it'll be a full graduation, and they're really looking forward to it. I mean, a lot of them have really pressed in and have been committed to this from the beginning. And when they're not allowed to come in for whatever reason, I'm telling you, I mean, they come to us just as soon as they can get in. And I mean, some of them will be in tears, you know, because they were withheld from being able to come in and, you know, because they missed it. But, you know, we always, you know, work through a lot of those things. The biggest thing is their heart and they're wanting to follow through. We want to thank you guys for all your prayers and your support. And I want to tell you, they thank you. And that's been part of their healing as well, to know that there's somebody that cares and loves them that they've never even met. Somebody that has prayed for them and has financially sowed into this so that they could receive what God was wanting. I'm telling you, they're just blown away by that. There's some that have never had the touch or felt the love of somebody else. And God is just changing their world. Changing their world. So thank you. And thank you from them. I mean, just even in some of the responses, we hear from them. Tell the people thank you. And keep praying for us. Keep praying for us. As we are praying for them. Because this is a turn. Because they're not just receiving, but they're also praying. They're praying and they're coming to know that they're part of the body. They're not by themselves. They are part of our body. As sisters and brothers of Christ. And they're starting to get this. They really are. I mean, another miracle, God is just giving them just a level of increased vision and revelation in and around this. I mean, when the services were canceled in the women's prison, and the chapel wasn't open, they were bummed. And this was on Mother's Day. There were a lot of them that were just very disappointed. This is one of their you know, sparks in the week for them. Well, and we had just started doing the church behind bars and started showing them what God was doing in and through them. Well, as this group was gathering and they just began talking back and forth, you know, with one another, saying how bummed it was that, you know, they didn't have chapel service either that morning or that night. It was Mother's Day. One of them, God just revealed to them and connected the dots for her. She goes, you know what? We're the church. We can be that church. We can have a service. And they began to testify to what God was doing in their life at that time. And began to sing. And began to do some of those things together. And it just really uplifted them. But that was a beginning point. And God has just continued to expand on that. And deepen that revelation. God's final word. As you heard, Debbie. You cannot stop this movement. You cannot put it back any more than you can put back an avalanche. Lowell, because of some of the things that are going on there in the women's prison, aren't going to be able to do things in a normal fashion that would be done in a church. And you got to understand, this is a different culture, completely different culture. It's not like a church out here where the things that we do in a normal service can't, you know, happen there. It is the first century church that will have to go underground because they don't have the same privileges. There's a lot of obstacles. But God's already overcome those and he's already seen those and he's already putting in place what needs to happen to establish that church behind bars for it to rise up to a greater level than what they could ever know or imagine. And God's doing this. Daniel 2:44. Love this scripture. And I'm gonna leave you with that. the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It will break, crush in pieces, and consume, put to an end all these kingdoms, and it will stand forever. These prisons are located in Ocala, and the city motto of Ocala, Florida, is God be with us. The name Ocala means Kingdom of the Sun, S-U-N. Let's make that Kingdom of the Sun, S-O-N. Back here, if you get a chance, visit our table. We have some information in regards to the last couple months, and I'll have this book, the manual, if you wanted to take a peek at it and see what's been being taught. It'll be back there, too, for you to peruse if you want. And also, please, we have these decal stickers. Feel free to take one. Put it on your car. Spread the word that God is the church behind bars. And thank you again for your support and all that you have been a part of with this.
Okay, just a quick, before we transition, Debbie's going to teach, but I want to say we have a bucket in the back for anyone that wants to continue to seed into what they are doing, because there are still many needs that they have even for this last quarter of the church behind bars. And so please bless them. There's a great awakening happening, and it's because there are some in the church that are already awake.
Yes.
Amen.
Sorry, guys. I was hoping to do one more song, but I just really don't want to cut down this message. And it's a short message, but Church Behind Bars has been the biggest assignment that God has ever given me. And I've been called to a lot of things. Been in ministry for 20 plus years. I've traveled internationally. I've done many concert tours. I've done a lot of things. And this is the biggest thing that he ever asked me to do. And when this idea was presented to me, I wanted to do it. But I wanted to hear God's heart for me to apply myself, because I had a sense that it would be bigger than anything I could do. And don't you know that when we're presented with those things that we can't possibly do by ourselves, that's usually God. It's usually God. And when I asked him if he wanted me to be a part of this, he didn't say yes or no. What he said was, Debbie, I want to use you to build my end time army. And so I guess that was a yes. Many times during this year, I've had to declare to my body, to my mind, to my emotions, you must at least equal the assignment that God has given me. If God has called me to this, then there cannot be any breakdown here or here or here. I've had to speak to my life. I've learned to rest in the midst of insane busyness, operating in the rest of the Lord. I fought weariness and challenges, trying not to complain or confess. See, I would come home, August in particular. I came home from August and I said, Lord, my brain hurts. He's called me to be a very militant strategist. That's one of my giftings, strategy. And so I have exercised that thing. I can't tell you how countless times, because we come home from a trip and it's not like, okay, well, we can just get ready for the next trip. No, it's a new strategy for the next month. A new strategy for the next month. A new strategy for the next month. On site strategy, because I see the darkness coming, and all right, how do we do this? How do we do this? And so I left prison in August saying, my brain hurts. I don't think your brain really can hurt. And the Lord told me to stop it. He says, don't confess that. He says, instead, because this is what I've called you to, you begin to declare what you get to do. what you get to have because of this assignment. Instead of a brain being tired, I get to have an increase in brain functionality. I get to have an increase in thinking. I get to operate from all of my mind. I get to operate in the mind of Christ. And so it's a different perspective. There's something about the power of our voice in alignment with heaven. Don't you know that one of the things that the enemy wants to shut down is our voice? Our voice is what activates our spirit man. Our voice in alignment with heaven is what brings heaven to earth. The enemy is terrified of our voice. Why do you think negativity and complaining is his language? If he can get you to talk about what you cannot do, then you're not going to get to do it. Challenges then become about increase and multiplication, because don't you know that that is just who God is? God is a God of increase. God is a God of multiplication. It becomes about upgrades to take us to a higher place. Struggles are necessary to push us towards our destiny. Without the struggles, without the obstacles, our wings wouldn't be strong enough to soar. And Rick, grab those flags. I just want you to listen for a minute. Struggles are necessary, because without the problems and the struggles, we would not have strength in our wings to soar. Do you know that an eagle detects a storm before it gets here? An eagle reads the winds and then uses the storm to bring him up higher. Doesn't overcome the storm, it uses the storm to take him to a higher place. Do you ever see an eagle striving and flapping? Normally you see an eagle soaring, catching the wind. And I'll tell you something else about an eagle that just blew my mind. My husband Randy told me, and you know about eagles, they pick up snakes. Because I found out that eagles eat snakes. I thought, wow, didn't even know that. I thought it was like little dogs, you know, fish, you know, snakes. But an eagle, you know how an eagle kills a snake? He takes the snake, he changes the battlefield. He takes the snake to his level, and he drops it. You see, when we operate from the third heaven like we're supposed to, like we're seated in Christ at the right hand of the Father, when we remember that circumstances are underneath our feet, see, we change the playing field as well. Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I know the plans that I have for you, plans to give you a future and give you a hope. Now, you've already heard this today, but God's plans are in front of you, not behind you. There is nothing in this verse about your past, only your future. Your past is simply part of the preparation for your future. God has purposes and plans that are before you, not behind you. And whether you realize this or not, each one of us have something great to accomplish in this world before we die. I've taught this in prison. But it's not just a prison word. It's a body word. Each of us has a unique assignment. When we were formed in our mother's womb, he knit us together. He created us to have identity. He created us to have purpose. And then he gave us an assignment that only you could accomplish in this earth. And then he gave you the talent and the gifts and the call to enable you to carry out your mission. And guess what? You cannot be disqualified from this assignment. Just because you've blown it, or just because you have become hopeless or because you have failed. I first learned this when I was listening to a message about Moses. And it's like a light bulb came on for me. And I just checked out from the sermon and began to make my own notes. You know, Moses, I always thought it was really strange why he argued with God about being his mouthpiece. I don't know if you ever thought, you know, and we always say it's because he had a stutter. But you know what? This is what the word says about him. He was educated in all the wisdom of Egypt, Acts 7:22. In fact, it says that he was mighty in words and mighty in deed. It's the exact same words that were used for Jesus. I think that's pretty powerful. But his excuse was, I don't speak very well. So what's the deal, Moses? Why all the excuses? This is the revelation I had. Moses had disqualified himself from his assignment because of his crime, because of his failure, because there was shame attached to it, because he failed. But guess what? You can't be disqualified from something that you never qualified for in the first place. Think about that. Jesus, his death, is the only thing that qualifies us. It's not about whether we failed or not, because we qualify for God's service just as we are, with our failures, with our brokenness, with our scars. No matter what our past has been, God's specialty is to invade our messes, clean us up, and then use us to accomplish great and mighty things. That is God's way. That is God's way. There's a couple men I wanted to share with you that never aligned themselves with their failure. Thomas Edison. His teacher said he was too stupid to learn anything. He was fired from his first two jobs for being non-productive. And as an inventor, he made 1,000 unsuccessful attempts at inventing the light bulb. And when he was interviewed, they asked him how it felt. How he felt to fail 1,000 times. He says, I didn't fail 1,000 times. It just took 1,000 steps. Walt Disney was fired by the newspaper editor because he lacked imagination and had no good ideas. Charles Schulz had every cartoon he submitted was rejected by his high school yearbook staff. And oh, guess what? Walt Disney wouldn't hire him either. Albert Einstein. His teacher described him as mentally slow and unsociable. He didn't even speak till he's 4 years old, and he couldn't read till he was 7. He was expelled from school and refused admittance to Zurich Polytechnic School. But eventually he began to speak and read and even do a little bit of math. Beethoven. His teacher called him a hopeless composer. And you know that he wrote 5 of his greatest symphonies deaf. You, my friends, are more amazing than you realize. You are more amazing than you realize. Jerry, is that clip loaded? Hopefully. Watch this.
The Word of God, and then you look at modern Christianity. Do you see a discrepancy? Some of us don't want to see the discrepancy. We want to tell ourselves, no, it's similar. It's a similar vibe between the book of Acts and what we have now. We come up with elaborate doctrinal excuses for why we're impotent as a church. Why our prayers seem to hit a tin roof. The Word of God is timeless and it is eternal. It defines what Christianity is meant to be. Our God is not altering. Our God is not evolving. He does not change. He does not lie. There is no shadow of turning in him. He is rock-like. Our God has not moved. It's us that have moved. We have moved and we've lost sight of the rock. You build upon anything else, it will fail you when the winds and the rains come and beat against your house. The Irish elk. The Irish elk is officially classified as extinct. It's sort of hard to give an accurate understanding of how big this animal is. At the top of its brow, it's about 10 feet tall. On top of its 10-foot tall head, it had a rack of antlers that spanned 12 feet in width. 12 feet! That's bigger than Goliath, just on top of his head! Yet it went up 5 more feet! 15 feet of massiveness! What I'm looking at here is something that I would liken to true Christianity. Christianity the way God intended it to be. We love seeing elk. Elk are majestic creatures. They stir us. For some reason, there's something about an elk that is moving. They're a regal animal. However, what's the height of an elk, would you guess? I mean, would we say 5-6 feet would be the top of a head, maybe? I mean, those are still big, right? Rack of antlers, maybe a couple feet above that. We might get up to 8 feet. You take a modern-day elk and stand it next to an Irish elk. You were really impressed with the modern-day version, weren't you? Our problem is we've lost sight of the Irish elk version of Christianity. We don't even believe it exists. We honestly believe it's gone extinct. We don't go after it. God doesn't intend to do those things in a man or a woman of God anymore. That was what he did back then. Those are things for yesteryear, not for today. You see, we need a rack of antlers. Something that causes the world to stop their car, slam into a pole and say, "Did you see that?" When I was studying extinct animals, this is what it said. Despite being officially classified as extinct, sightings are still reported. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but if sightings are still being reported, shouldn't you remove or change the classification of extinct? Doesn't extinct to you mean gone? No more!
No more!
You see, this is Christianity. And this is what God wants to bring back. You see, what we say is, despite being officially classified as extinct, true Christianity, brawny Christianity, the type of Christianity that stands on a rock and is unmoved in a generation, the type of Christianity that knows the power of their God, George Mueller's their way through to support 1,000 orphans, to grow them up merely on faith. It's extraordinary pictures that have been exemplified throughout Christianity. C.T. Studd going at the age of 52, a dying body, goes into the heart of Africa, untamed Africa, where cannibals live, lives there 20 years and turns Africa on its head. Who are these men? They were Irish elk. Let's behold majesty again, fall flat on our face, recognize our uncleanness and the uncleanness of the system around us, and allow our God to clothe us in his blood. Allow our God to cleanse us with his blood. Allow our God to regenerate us, to set our feet upon a rock, to make us tributes to his glory. They may not believe that the stature of a true man or a woman of God can grow 10 feet at the brow. Glory that we are to carry as Christians spans 12 feet in width and another 4 or 5 feet above our heads. They may not believe it, but we believe. Awake, awake. Put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days, in the generations of old, as in the generations previous to us. We know who you are, God. We believe. We have not forsaken you. We know that you did not slumber. We know you are waiting for a generation to rise up with faith, childlike confidence that you are exactly who you say you are. And when you say it in your word, you cannot lie. And when our God promises, we can take it to the bank. I want to see this rack of antlers on the Church of Jesus Christ again. And I want your lives to declare to the heavenlies what God can and will do through lives wholly submitted to him. And may this generation see what elk are supposed to look like.
Don't you know that your best battles are ahead of you, not behind you? We can we can go back and we can talk about great men of the past, great women of the past that have done great things. But don't you know that we are living in a time where we're supposed to be doing greater things than Jesus did? That's what we're supposed to do. We are destined for greatness. What assignment has God given you to accomplish in this earth? What assignment has He given this body here at Living Word to accomplish? Have you disqualified yourself because of the obstacles that you've encountered, because of circumstances? You know that circumstances have no right to define us, to control us, to rule and reign, not if we belong to Christ, not if we're sitting in Christ and Christ lives in us. Circumstances are the external things. Have you disqualified yourself? Does it seem like one thing after another continues to delay and put off the things that you've been hoping for? Does it feel that your heart has been beaten down by your circumstances and by a world that's gone mad? By killings and hurricanes and earthquakes and fires. It feels like the world is out of control. What better time than for the Irish elk of this generation to rise up? What better time? And let me tell you something about stress. The stress in your life is killing off the divine nature that you partake in. I'm preaching to myself now. Stress has no place in the body of Christ. Even when you're stressing about ministry, because stress will kill off the things of God. What dreams have you been pressing into God for that just seem to have burned down to the ground? God isn't just raising up champions in prison. He's raising up spiritual giants all across the globe. He's raising up spiritual champions right here at Living Word. His bridal army being equipped for these last days. It's time for us to take a stand and be counted in the ranks of this army. Do you agree? I want to close with some ministry time. Because when I prayed, God, how do you want me to segue into a message? What do you want to speak into the hearts of those here this morning? Hope deferred. Disqualification. Feeling beaten down and weary. And maybe in some form, maybe it's not sin or failure like the prisoners have been dealing with. Maybe it's something else. The delays or the weariness of pressing in. And God wants to remove those things this morning from your life and renew your assignment, renew your vision, and renew your stance as part of the end time bridal army of God.